Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. This is our Bible study in the book of Genesis, and I'm here with Connie Stanfill. Hi, Connie.
Hello, Amy.
Well, thanks for teaching us today. We are going to be in Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, ladies, and this is the story of Abraham and Abimelech. Tell us about this.
Well, we are going to have Abraham interacting with the pagans around him again, and we're going to find that Abraham still resorts to some of his same deceptions, actually.
Well, this will be interesting. So what I'm going to do, ladies, is read what we're going to be studying, and then Connie will teach. And again, Genesis chapter 20. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, "Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he himself say to me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother'? In the integrity of my heart and in the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you see that you did this thing?" Abraham said, "I did it because I thought, 'There is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, 'This is the kindness you must do me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother.' Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, 'Behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you.' To Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you, and before everyone you are vindicated.' Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children, for the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife."
Thank you, Amy. You know, as we go through this chapter 20, we see again that Abraham and Sarah tell a half-truth. Yeah. They tell the people surrounding them that they are brother and sister, which is true, but they leave out the fact that they're also man and wife, that they're married. And the reason is because Abraham is afraid of these people. He thinks that they will kill him in order to take Sarah as a wife because she is apparently very beautiful and still desirable in men's eyes. Bottom line in the story is we really find out that it is God who needs to act to rescue Sarah. And let's remind ourselves of where we've been. Chapter 18, we had the Lord coming to visit Abraham and saying that within a year, Sarah is going to have a child, this promised son of Abraham and Sarah. She's not going to be having Abraham's child if she's another man's wife. And so God needs to act to rescue her from this situation that Abraham and Sarah have gotten themselves into. We also need to notice, I called these pagan peoples, but actually we find that they're acting in some sense with more integrity than Abraham and Sarah. And we find that they do seem to have some fear of the Lord. And that's going to be a common theme throughout the rest of Genesis is who fears the Lord and what does that look like?
Yeah.
And actually, if you just think, question for you, Amy, as we talk about fearing the Lord, what would that look like?
Yeah, it would look like obedience. It would look like respect. It doesn't mean that we have to be afraid, as in we're afraid of him even being near us, but that fear of respect and trembling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And truly, if we fear God, if we know who God is, and we know his power, and we also know how he deals with sin, and we're in right relationship with him, then we don't fear anything or anyone else.
Exactly.
So hopefully that'll come through, because I think Abraham is learning through this. As we journey through Genesis, we're going to find out more and more of how his faith grows. So anyway, the other thing then we have is we just finished chapter 19, and there we had the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we find right away here in chapter 20 that says, from there Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev. So he moves southwest. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was because of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah or whatever, but he's seen pagan lifestyles, and he's moved away from those pagan lifestyles, and now he's in another place where he's concerned. So we find that this Abimelech, who is a ruler, and actually Abimelech means father, or Moloch is my father, or my father is king. And so it's a title. It's like saying Pharaoh or president or prime minister. He sends for and takes Sarah to be a wife because, again, she's so beautiful. And then verse 3 tells us the key to the whole chapter here. It says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman. And so God is protecting Sarah, and he's protecting the marriage of Abraham and Sarah. And we're going to see, as Amy read through this, hopefully you noticed that Scripture is very clear that Abimelech did not touch Sarah. He did not have sexual relations with her. And that's important because very soon, within a year, Isaac is going to be born.
Yeah.
And Abraham needs to be Isaac's father. All right. So we find Abimelech has the Lord appear to him. And then Abimelech says, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? You know, I acted with integrity. And God said, I know. That's why I'm stopping you from doing this thing. And then we find out again that both Abraham and Sarah had said that their brother and sister, leaving out the fact that they were married. And then we find that God tells him that he needs to return Sarah to Abraham, which he does. And he does with great gifts. Just like in Genesis chapter 12, we had same situation, Abraham and Sarah in Egypt, and Pharaoh takes Sarah into his home. And when he finds out, because of God's plagues against them, that Sarah is Abraham's wife, then he also restores her to Abraham with great gifts. Here we find there's another interesting thing. It says that Abimelech gives 1,000 pieces of silver to vindicate Sarah. And so it's a payment that shows she's innocent. She hasn't become my wife. I haven't had relations with her. She is restored to her husband. And so that's important because, again, we're coming up to Isaac is going to be born very shortly. And I guess another thing we just need to see again is that Abraham is still growing in his faith because he feels the need to tell this half-truth to protect himself.
Yeah.
He's afraid he will be killed. And that's why he and Sarah go along with this, just, okay, we're brother and sister, we're not married, or not leaving out the fact that they're married. And it's because he thought there was no fear of God in this place. But we're finding out Abimelech actually does fear God because he obeys. Yeah. So once again, we have one of these people who is surrounding Abraham who acts perhaps with more integrity than Abraham himself.
Yes.
So interesting portion of Scripture. But the important thing then is we also see in this story that God tells Abimelech that Abraham needs to pray for him. Mm. And he calls Abraham his prophet. That's the first place in Scripture we have anyone called a prophet.
Yeah.
And so Abraham is a prophet, which just means he tells God's truth and he might tell things about the future of what God is going to be doing. But even Abraham, in his sin, is now going to be the one to pray for Abimelech. So we find as we read through this account that besides God appearing to Abimelech in a dream, there's also this problem in his family, his household, where there no children are born.
Yes.
And the fertility ceases. And because there's not a lot of time, we only have a year between when God foretold Isaac and then when Isaac is born, I'm wondering if even the women who may have been pregnant miscarried or had stillbirths or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, God seemed to just stop births in that that household. And so it was noticeable. And what happened is Abraham needed to pray for him so that God would heal those wombs and allow normal fertility and children to become forth. Again, it emphasizes that God is the one who's in charge of life.
Yes.
And, you know, people might think that they're the ones bringing life into the world, but actually all life belongs to God.
Oh, amen.
So anyway, interesting. But we find that Abraham prays to God, heals Abimelech, and then we find that Sarah is restored to Abraham with great gifts and all. Considering the story, I think we really need to understand, again, God is the one who's acting. And even in Abraham and Sarah's sin, God works, and he's faithful, and he is true to his promises, and he's going to make happen what he desires to happen. Hopefully, we as women, as we hear this story and we consider this, respond to God, we can say, Lord, help me be more faithful. Help me to be truthful in what I say. And also, there's one point in the middle there where it talks about Abimelech says, why did you cause me to sin? And truly, yes. May we be the kind of women who do not cause other people to sin because of our sin.
Amen. Thank you, Connie. You know, ladies, we've got a study guide waiting for you on our website under the Bible Studies tab at naomistable.com, along with this 10-minute podcast that you can use to teach others and maybe disciple someone, another woman around your table, or maybe a group. We just encourage you to go there, check it out, download what you need, and you can do Bible studies at home. Well, ladies, we're going to take a break. Nancy LeMay is going to be back with me in just a moment, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this lesson and what this looks like for us. Be right back.